But let's get to the message this morning. We've had 6 weeks of message on love. Love, the greatest hit. And it impacted me, so I find myself just loving people in the streets. I was even hugging people's dogs. It's like, just share the love. Just share the love. And it's been really good. And it's been an amazing series. And the response back from you guys and girls has been amazing. But I wonder, how did it change you? Did you actually go out and love other people? Did you touch some lives? Did you go out there and be the church? I sometimes wonder if people even know the purpose of church. I mean, what is this for? Why are you here? I mean, why? Why did you come to a church? Why did you come to this church? What is the purpose? If God installed the church and Jesus died for the church, then surely it's got to be more than what we're currently experiencing. Church has to be more than just meeting on a Sunday for an hour. Okay, today's going to be an hour and 10 minutes, so guys, just hold in there. Wives, hold your husbands down. Okay, he's going to have to concentrate for a few more minutes. It's very moeilijk, but you can do it. But what is the purpose of church? And I've been thinking about this, and I like to realize church exists for three reasons, and they're all linked to the Great Commission. It is to reach the unchurched. It is to make, it is to disciple believers, and then it is to guide those believers into outreach. So we carry on with a circle. The Great Commission asks us to go out and make disciples. And then this becomes the home of the disciples. But if they just gather here, then we're not fulfilling the Great Commission, because we've got to go again. And the church must be, I don't know what the Afrikaans word, the English word is for catty. But the church must be like a catty. We equip you, and then we release you. We put you in that sling, Bode and al, and ons skiet jou in die koninkryk in. And you've got to go and make a difference. I just hope you land softly, okay? But we've got to be launching people outside of the walls of the church. Then we've been an effective church. You see, the church has to be an entity that influences the community. And it's got to be a place for the broken people so they can be made well. Those people that life has just like chewed up and spat out. Those people should be welcome. And if the church is not a place for the broken, then that church is broken. But you've got to come here to be fixed, to be launched, to go out. And that is why we need, and we have different types of people in the church. We got rich, we got poor, we got normal, we got odd. In fact, look to your left and your right. Some weirdos sitting next to you, aren't they? Okay? Now don't admit it, just like keep that news to yourself. But this is what church is supposed to look like. It's supposed to be multicultural, multi-generational, but it's supposed to have a purpose as well. We've got to be multi-purposeful as well and go and touch different people. We've got to be bringing them into the house and together, each one of you, with your warts and all, with who you are right now, you are the church. You see, my part is to disciple the people who come into the church. Your part is to go out there and be a disciple. And then we're doing church right. Now, we get different types of people who come to church. Those who come out of obligation, like some of the people here this morning. My wife said, I have to go to church today. Mama het gesê, jy beter gaan. Okay? Dirk, you'll have to translate the Afrikaans on the podcast. Some people get forced to go. And guess what? We love you. Doesn't matter how you got here. If you were obligated, if you were forced, if you were told you won't be fed again for the next week, doesn't matter. You're welcome. We love you because you're supposed to be here. And then you get those people who go to church out of dedication or desperation because they're dedicated to growing in the kingdom, learning more so they can go out. They're desperate to come and to learn and to grow and to become fruitful in the world. And the church needs all those type of people. We can work better with the dedicated and the desperate, because those are usually the ones who are willing to get their hands dirty and and they commit to the church and they commit to the vision of the church and they're willing to serve in the church and they're willing to go and be the church outside. The obligated is a little bit more difficult, but we love you anyway. So, the church, you, okay, look around you, you, the church, have got a role and a responsibility to fulfill. You see, the church is the hope of the nation. And the church is the hope of George and Mossel Bay and Sedgefield. And I know there's some people here from Stolby. The church is even the hope of Stolby. Okay? Most people in Stolby are between 90 and Biltong. But but there's still hope there if the church does their job. Okay? That is what we are here for, to do our job. And what is our job? I touched on this scripture last week, Colossians 1, 25 to 27. I have become its servant, the church, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. So if you're the Lord's people, you know this mystery. To them God has chosen, that's us, to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything the world needs is in this house. Everything. You see, I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with the drama. I'm fed up with the news reports. I'm fed up of hearing about murders and rapes and corruption and all of this. I'm hopeful. You can translate that. Okay? I've had enough. And if the church would do its job, we will change what is happening out there. But you're not going to change it as long as you're stuck in here. You've got to realize Christ in me, the hope of glory, what I have in me, the world needs out there. You see, the miracle for the solution to this country is in the believer. The miracle is in you. You, it's there. We just got to release that miracle into the marketplace. We are the hope of this nation. And I'm going out of my message and ahead of this message. You see, it says there, we're supposed to make known the gospel. And you don't have to use words. You can use actions to make the gospel known. You just got to be loving God's people, touching people, being nice to people. Smile a picky, it won't break your jawbone, okay? Won't give you more wrinkles. Just smile, okay? Be loving. Touch people's lives. If we would do 10% of what the Word of God asks us, we'll make 100% difference. You see, when believers act on the Word of God begins to act through them. When we are doing what the Bible asks us, God enters the picture and He takes over and He becomes Himself to a broken world through you. But we've got to be doing what the Word says. Now, I want to ask you, does George need a miracle? What about Mossel Bay? Stolby? Sedgefield? Knysna? Southern Cape? Western Cape? South Africa? The continent? We need miracles. We need the miracle of the loving power of Jesus Christ to touch this nation. But it's not going to happen unless you realize Christ in me, the hope of the nation, and I, one person, can make a huge difference. I can also contribute to the misery and the negativity. I can moan and I can groan, or I can touch one life at a time. You see, people need to start seeing Jesus is in us. They need to start seeing we are the hope. But unless we start sharing it, they will never know that there is hope beyond the economy, hope beyond the politics. They've got to know the hope lies in Jesus. And the church is calling on you as a part of the church to start sowing seeds of love, of hope, of grace, of mercy, of compassion. We need to understand that we are God's farmers and we need to go out and sow. And sometimes we will sow, sometimes we will water, sometimes we will harvest. It doesn't matter. We just need to be sowing and doing what God asks us. And we won't always reap the harvest where we've sowed. That doesn't matter. Someone said this, we will always reap what we sow, but not always where we sowed it. And that's okay, because you're a farmer. You're only supposed to sow or water. God will reap the harvest through someone else. We're not in this for our glory. We're in it for His glory. So let's just start being love and introducing a bit of love into a broken world. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I planted the seed. This was now Paul speaking. Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. But if there's no seed and it's not been watered, how's it going to grow? And that is why He calls on you, the church, to make it grow. And today, if you're in this building, if you're obligated, dedicated, or desperate, doesn't matter. You have been appointed as God's farmer. And you've got to go and start sowing. But being a farmer is like hard work. Makes you sweat a little bit. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to put in some effort. And you've got to know you won't always get the glory. But if you love Christ and you know you're doing it for Him, then that's okay. We've got to start getting believers to go to the other side. Okay? We've got to go to the other side of where we are now. We've got to go to the other side of these walls. Because this is what is binding the church, the walls. And we've got to break them down and get out there. In Matthew 8, from verse 18 to 34, and you can go read this at home. Jesus is on one side of the Sea of Galilee. It's actually a lake. They call it a sea. They had a moment of confusion. I don't know what happened there. But the lake, the sea, that place, Jesus is on one side. And he says to the disciples, get into the boat. We've got to cross over. We've got to go to the other side. While they're going, now I've said this before, on some parts it's like a 13-mile row. So some parts are less, some are more. It's hard work. Okay? So Jesus has been ministering all day. He's been talking to people like you, and it really tires him. And because he's been telling them the same story, showing them God's power, and some listen and some don't. And he falls asleep in the boat, and the storm arises. And the disciples, these are fishermen. They spent their life on the boats. But as the storm arises, they begin to fear that they're going to drown. Jesus wakes up, says, boys, chill. I've got this. And he calms the storm, and they go to the other side. You see, that whole experience would think they went through so much. There was so much emotion there, so much sacrifice, so much energy there. You would think Jesus is going to the other side to go perform like these major miracles for a multitude of people. But go read the story. Jesus thought all that effort was worth two people. And it was two demon-possessed people, the type of people you don't want to be around. But Jesus says, we're going to row in the night. We're going to go without sleep. We're going to face the storm. We're going to do what we need to do because it's all worth it for two people. And they are not this side where we are. They are on the other side. So we go and put in the effort to get to them. And then he healed them and he went back to that side where he had come from. We need to realize there's the other side. And the other side is beyond that wall, this wall, and this wall. And we need to get there. Again in Mark 6, from 45 to 56, we read about Jesus going to the other side. These disciples must have looked like this from all the rowing they did. Go read how many times they went to the other side. It was a lot. I'm using a few examples. So the disciples, Jesus says to them, you go to the other side. I've been ministering all day. I'm going to go up and I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. I want to pray. And the disciples get in the boat and go across. And the people see him getting in the boat and going. And in that night, Jesus dispels probably the last of the doubt in their life of who he is. because he comes walking towards them on the water. And they reach the other side. And the word goes out, Jesus is in town. And people across the region start bringing in the sick and laying the sick in the marketplace. Everyone is bringing people who need to be in the presence of Jesus. The possessed, the sick, those who need healing. They're bringing them in the multitudes and they lay them in the marketplace. And the marketplace is not in here. The marketplace is out there. And we need, as believers, to go to the other side to get into the marketplace. The marketplace might start in your home. It might be in your business. It might be when you go pay your goods at Checkers. It might be in the coffee shop. We've got a marketplace, and we've got to take the gospel there. We've got to be effective. But it's on the other side of these walls. You can't just come on a Sunday or once in a while on a Sunday and expect to be effective in the kingdom of God. You need the love of God to flow into you so it can flow through you and touch people's lives. Take sacrifice. You might need to put in a bit of effort, work up a bit of a sweat. But man, someone did it for you at some stage. And that's why you are where you are. Because someone sowed seed, someone watered, and there was a harvest in your life. Let's give that to other people. And don't dare tell me today, I want to stamp my feet and say, don't do this. Don't ever say, I can't do it. It's not in me. I'm not able to, because you have got Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things. All, everything through Christ who strengthens me. I can be who I need to be to others. I just got to put myself aside a little bit, make a little bit of a sacrifice. Maybe I got to get up early on a Sunday to come to church so I can be motivated to go and share His love. Maybe I'm going to have to like come out of my comfort zone and just touch someone else's life by giving them a hug. Maybe I've got to take a bit of my money out and sow it into someone's life. You're going to have to make a sacrifice, but it's worth it. Because everything has been sacrificed for you. And the other big excuse is, I don't have time. God made time for you. And this morning, He's setting aside time for you again. And when you walk out of these doors, you're going to have 167 more hours in this week. Surely, 167 hours, you can give God a few minutes. We're not asking much. It takes 1 minute to change a life. Okay? If you stutter, maybe 2 or 3 minutes. But go and do it. Go and impact people. You do have time. You just don't have your priorities right. You see, your priorities are about you, not about others. And until that changes, we're not going to impact the world. We've got to realize, I'm in the grace of God. I've got it. Okay? I am the hope of glory, and I need to share it, and you've got time. In John 6:16-25, we read the same account that we just read when Jesus walked on the water. But John gives more detail. So Jesus tells the disciples to go, and He stays behind to go pray. Now the people see Jesus has stayed behind. Okay? They know He didn't leave with the disciples. But during the night, while they are asleep, Jesus walks on the water and He gets to the disciples. These people wake up expecting to find Jesus still amongst them. And they start looking for Him and they can't find Him. Now they're worried. What has happened to Jesus? You know that book we used to buy them for our kids, Where's Wally? Okay? It's like a little figure and it's got a red and white striped cap and they hide him in pictures in a book and you've got to find Wally. Okay? Keeps the kids busy for hours. Okay, especially if you color Wally in and make him hide him even more when on a journey in a car. Okay, but these people are playing, where's Jesus? And they're looking all over for Him. They're looking in the houses and they're looking in the countryside. They go up the mountain, they're looking for Jesus. And eventually, news gets to them, Jesus is on the other side. And they go to the other side and ask Jesus, Rabbi, how did you get here? How did you get here? Because we were there, but you on the other side. And today, you got to know, you might be there, but you might be the person on the other side. You see, I can't be everywhere at once. You can't be everywhere at once. But you're going to be in a place that I'm not. You're going to be on the other side for someone. The other side might be the school. The other side might be the coffee shop. The other side might be on the streets. The other side might be at a robot. The other side might be at a spring festival. The other side is somewhere else other than where you are at. But if we all decide today, we're going to be the other side people. We will find someone at the place where someone needs Jesus. But it takes all of us, and that is why we're called the body of Christ. We've each got a role to play, and together we make up the body. So sometimes you'll be the eye that sees the person. The other times you'll be the hand that touches the person. Sometimes we need to be the foot that kicks the person until they're stubborn. They don't want to hear. They need a good spiritual lift. But we're the body. We've each got a role to play. And sometimes you are on the other side. But make sure when you're on that side, you be in Jesus to them, because you are the hope of glory, because Christ is in you. Yes, I've got ahead in this message now. Okay. Going to come into land, because I know some of you want to go ride bike. If we all just do our little bit, if each one would reach one, okay? Each one reach one. If you would realize that every member is a minister and we would operate on the other side of these walls, if we would break down the walls of the church and go into the streets of the town we are from, we can make a difference, because the word says you are His chosen one. He says we will truly be the church when we start working together. And he says to Peter, and on this, the fact that you say who I am, on this I will build the church, and the gates of Hades will not come against it. We are already victors. Hell cannot stop us from sharing the gospel. Hell cannot stop us from being the glory of God to the people, because Jesus says you are the church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome the church, and I am His church, and you His church, and in you is the hope of glory, in you is the miracle of Jesus Christ. We have got everything we need. But we need to be the church. As the praise and worship team comes back, me, Paul Williams, I'm taking up my mandate. And I'm going to be an impact in people's lives out there. I'm going to make time for people. I'm going to give them my time. I'm going to give them the love of Christ that is in me. But what about you? Because I'm only a small little part in this body. I need you. God needs you. Wilderness needs you. George needs you. Sedgefield is desperate for you. Mossel Bay, Still Bay. The country needs us, people. We are the hope of glory. Do you get that? We are the hope of glory. Let's go and let's be the church, and love God's people, because we were first loved by God. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we thank you that you have empowered us to be more than what we have become, Lord God. And who we are today is only a sample of who we could become if we give ourselves to you. And we come as a church this morning and we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are in us, and because you are in us, we are the hope of glory. Now, Holy Spirit, motivate us to go out and touch a lost and a broken world. Go before us, come behind us, walk alongside us, and thank you that you are in us. You will give us what we need. Every gifting, every fruit of the Spirit is available to us. Thank you. We will draw from that as we go and we touch your world. We pray this as the church you have brought together, and the whole church says, Amen. Amen.